So that's where we're at right now in this series, Stories Behind the Words of Paul. Just in case anyone really are taking this serious, like we're simply explaining there's stories behind what we read in the Bible, and some people have taken that and said, see, women be, okay, so anyways, I won't explain anymore. It was just a little too quiet in here. That makes me nervous. When I was in grade 10, my family moved from Calgary to central Alberta, and we all moved to what I would call the heart of oil country. And I'm not referring to the oil-related industry out there, though there was a lot of that. What I am referring to is the fact that it seemed everyone in that part of the province seemed to be Edmonton Oilers fans. I know, shake your head. Sorry. There's a few in here. It was during an era when the Oilers were king. Like, I'll be honest with you, they were on top of the world. This was during the era of Gretzky and Messier and Anderson and Grant Fuhr. I mean, you could go on and on with their star-studded lineup. Make me sick. The years of the dynasty, and it just seemed like when you went out into that part of the world, everyone was flying the Oiler colors. And I was a diehard Calgary Flames fan. And moving out there, little did I know what I was in for. And, at first when I got there, people started talking about the Oilers, and I started chewing back. You guys know. I had nothing to really talk about because, well, they had the team. And initially went into high school and, started kind of mixing it up with a few, kind of going back and forth. And at first it was fun, people kind of razzing me. And then more people in the high school found out. I mean, it just seemed like I was like the lonely Flames fan. Either that or everyone was turncoats and they weren't admitting to it. But they were just giving me the gears. At first it was fun. After a while, a little annoying. After a while, if another person came out to me after an Oiler win, so help me, I was just... And the problem was in 1985, grade 10, the Oilers played the Flames 7 times. Oilers won 6 and tied once. There were nights when I was watching the game on TV and I was just pleading to God, please, just let us win once. I get to school and there's this one kid that would just literally seek me out. He was in a grade younger, or his country school, grade 9. I'm grade 10. Grade 9 shouldn't have even been talking to the high schoolers. But this kid would find me. I'd be walking to the gym. There he'd be with a bunch of his friends. And he would just start mocking me. And I'm thinking, I just want to beat you up right now. So angry. Thinking, oh, you wait, kid. When we get that win, in the 3 years, I'm telling you. Oh, have you ever felt the way? Have you ever felt like someone's just hanging over you, just going, oh. You're not the kind of, condescending. Oh, you poor little. Oh, you got nothing. Just like, and you just got to eat it. I think this happens in all kinds of ways. There, not so subtle. But in life, I think it happens in little subtle ways all the time. I hear about it. Sometimes kids at school, other kids have better grades. And they're like, oh, you okay? Kids that aren't good in gym and they're always lagging behind. They're always the last one to get picked and someone's going, no, you take them, whatever. And they're just like, oh man, one day. Even parents get around other parents whose kids just seem like perfect. Huh? Overachievers. Kids are never getting into trouble at school. And it's like, it seems like every time they're around, another story about your own kids shows up. It's like, and they're going, is everything okay? Have you ever felt, I hate that feeling. You know what I'm talking about? I just like to wipe that smile off your face. One day it's going to be payback. One day you're going to be looking at me going, how'd you do it? Oh, Sorry, just think about it. I think this happens in church circles. I think it does. Someone starts talking about the church they go to, so proud. Oh man, our music. Oh wow, our church is growing. Whoa, look at this. Man, that guy, he can speak. Oh man, you should hear all the programs we're doing. And every time you go to tell your story, it's like, oh, that's nice. Anyways, you know those? Have you ever felt that? It's like, what's wrong with my story? It's like, oh. Sometimes it's not that they're bigger and better. It's not that their church background or whatever is that much. But there's an air of concern for you and yours. Have you ever felt that? Oh, you start telling your story, it's like, oh, really? That's what you're doing? Am I the only one that's ever felt this before? Okay, so just nod your head and just say, okay, Jeff, you're not going crazy. Okay, good. I got a few hands. Thank you. See those hands? And so it's kind of like, gosh, it's a concern for you. No matter what you say. It's almost like one lady was telling me, she said, my family just tells me, I think they're trying to be encouraging, but they just say, we're praying for you. Thank you. Thank you. That's great. You end up just feeling annoyed, a little angry, maybe wishing that one day the tables would turn and you would be the person that had all these great things. And they'd be going, oh, if only I could. There were some in the church of Corinth that I think we're feeling exactly this way. As I explained last week, and for those of you that were here, I'll just try to catch up on where we are. Paul, so a writer of a number of books in the Bible, he was this leader. He spent time with a small group of people in the city of Corinth, challenging them, teaching them about the ways and the teachings of Jesus. Just pulling a little group together. And as he began to talk, and they began to get it, they began trying to live this out. Practice it. And before long, traction started happening. Other people started joining in and the group started growing. Pretty soon, Paul started picking certain people. He's saying, okay, you guys good here? You guys good? All right. Tell you what, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go and start another one in another city. You guys keep doing what you're doing here. And then we're going to see this thing take off. That was kind of his map, his plan. So that's what he did. He'd gotten this thing going, had enough momentum for it to leave, and he heads off. But in 1 Corinthians 3, which is where we're focusing on today, trouble has broken out now that Paul's left. There's been a faction in the community that he left behind in Corinth. Apparently, two groups have formed and they're arguing. They're arguing over who is the better leader, Paul or a new guy named Apollos. What we find out is after Paul left, a new guy comes in. His name is Apollos. Apollos, from what we know from the book of Acts, is he was a fantastic communicator. This guy was a smooth operator. He could come in, trained in the common popular practice of Greek rhetoric, the art of persuasive speaking. He could come in and with words, he could persuade anyone of anything. He was smooth. And he would come in and he would start talking. People would go, wow, this guy's great. And all of a sudden, more people are coming in going, man, that Apollos. And it was great because he's using these tools that were popular in the Greek culture of that day to actually convince them of the ways of Jesus. He's telling them about everything that Paul had started. He's going, yeah, you see, and he's using it in such a great, great, effective way. Here's the thing, though. He was different from Paul. He had a completely different style from Paul. In fact, in his own words, he said, my style is kind of simple. It's kind of plain. When he was in Corinth, he intentionally, at least I think he explained this to the people, he intentionally hadn't engaged in that popular Greek style of rhetoric and persuasive teaching. He said, rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you wouldn't trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. I bet you there were times when Paul sat down and said, okay, listen, I know everyone's talking like this all around you. I'm not doing that. I'm shooting straight with you this morning. I'm not going to flower it up. Here it is. Boom. And I'm going to tell you this because I'm relying on God to get this through to you, and not my flowery speech. I bet he had meetings like that where he said those very things. People went, whoa, this is different. And then over time, people were going, yeah, I kind of like that straight shooter. He just kind of lays it out there. No fluff, no multimedia, no nothing. He just lays it in. I bet there's some people who are going, you know what? I think that's the right way. Yeah. When Paul left, I think there were many people that figured, hey, that's what we need. It's another Paul. Paulus rolls in. You can see what happened, can't you? All of a sudden, he's employing a different style, and people are going, wait a second. I think there's some real devoted followers of Paul that are looking at him going, hey, pal, that's not how we do it around here. Put that multimedia thing down. What are you doing with the props, pal? Come on, lose them. Just shoot straight. Don't tell me the story. Get to the goods. Paulus is just doing his thing. And people are going, whoa. And yet there's a few, and we have a few of those every now and then in here. And they're sitting back going, I'm not sure about this. Coffee. And they're sitting there watching. And before long, someone comes over to one of the ringleaders who's really excited about Apollos, the new guy, and says, hey, listen, you got to talk to him. Like, did all this go down? I'm not sure. We don't really know. All we have is Paul's letter back, right? But something started going on, and before long, story gets back to Paul. Now, Paul, there he is in Ephesus. He pulls out his pen and starts writing his response back. I'm betting the guy who wrote to Paul or sent word back was one of Paul's devoted followers saying, Paul, we got problems here. Buddy, flowery. It's not doing it the way you're supposed to. So we just need you to send word back, clean it up. I'm guessing, all right? I'm just guessing. But I'm betting it was a Paul follower, got the message back. He's just going, Paul, just settle it straight. I mean, you're the man. You got this thing rolling. Deliver the news. I'm betting some of Paul's followers, as the swell is growing, I'm betting some of them are feeling like I did in high school. One of the solitary Flames fans, man. They're just looking around going, man, everyone's so excited. So Paul writes this letter back to address the situation. He says, when you start arguing in this way, aren't you acting just like everyone else? He's addressing the... He says, you're not living like Christ. You're living like the world. Like any Joe on the street. You can tell Paul is concerned about what is happening here. The way that they're... Then he goes on. He says, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're just normal Joes doing a job. That's all we are. He says, I started the deal. Yeah, I'm planting seeds. I'm teaching you guys how this goes. Paulus comes along and he's doing his thing. Ultimately, though, let me tell you guys back in Corinth, it's not about us. Paul goes on to say, it's not important who's planting the seed or watering. What's important is that good things are happening. That something is going on inside of you. The seeds that I planted and Paulus watered, the important thing is that it's growing inside each one of you. That's all that matters. And if it is growing inside you, that's God, that's not me, and that's not Apollos. Just want you to know. Now, I have to say that if Paul's followers were hoping that Paul would come down on Apollos and his annoying posse, putting them in their place, Paul's followers would have been sorely disappointed with this response. They would have been going, oh, are you kidding me? No, he says, instead, Paul's going, surprise, we're on the same team. We're all working together here, folks. There's no, in fact, you're trying to pit me and Apollos against each other? Yeah. No, we're good. There's nothing between us. I'm cheering him on. He's cheering me on. Woohoo, good job. I bet Paul's followers are sitting there reading this letter going, come on, there's got to be something in here. Where is he going to? Then Paul makes some of the most ecumenical, inclusive statements I think he's ever made in the Bible. He says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God? That group over there, oh, these people here you're not sure about. Oh, yeah, and these people over here, yeah. We're all together. We are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God lives in all of us together. I mean, Paul's saying, we're all on the same team. So just when they're hoping that Paul will shut up the Oiler fans, it's like, Paul's fans, sorry. I'm sorry, for all you Edmonton fans, we love you, we really do. You can just replace whatever team you need to. Put it in there, okay? It's like he does the opposite. And actually says, no, actually they're good. They're good. Shh. What a bitter pill. But wait, it gets worse. Paul turns his attention onto those criticizing, complaining about the others. And he says something that would have likely struck fear in a number of the vocal pieces who have been chirping about Apollos or about Paul. Paul shines a spotlight on these ringleaders who are arguing with each other. He looks even at his own guy who's promoting Paul, saying, yeah, man, you're the man, and you take him down. He looks straight at him. And anyone else who's been speaking up and causing problems. And he says, God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. Anyone who destroys this church community. It's made up of all these different parts. You want to cause division? You want to cause strife and animosity between these groups of followers? God will take you out. Wow. Harsh words, hey? That was not what they were wanting to hear, not what they're expecting. And now they're like, oh, geez. Why do you say that? It's like Paul is saying God has no problem with the different groups here. No problem with Apollos doing it his way, me doing it my way, the next guy that's going to do it that way, this guy, this girl that's doing it this way. No. God has no problem with this. What God has a problem with is you who are standing up in one group looking over and going, yeah, well, do something about them. They're the problem. They've missed it. What's sad is if you look at the history of the church, and I had Carmen, who does a lot of research for us, just pull up. I said, I want to know, how bad has it been? Christians between Christians over the last 500 years. The pages. And I wish it was just this. The list of bitter divisions and atrocious acts of violence and hatred that have been committed by Christians toward Christians. Just that alone. Forget Christians on other religions. Christians on Christians. When you read the number of Catholics that have been killed by Protestants, and Protestants have been killed by Catholics over the years, the number of religious leaders burned at the stake because another group was convinced, you missed it, my friend. we're taking you out. Makes me nervous thinking about it. We're going to start confiscating all lighters at the door, I think. Even in just the last 100 years, the number of Jews, blacks, Catholics that have been taken out. Oh, it is a sordid history. Why can't Christians figure it out? That we're on the same team. I mean, can't they see that God is more worried and upset with those who are attacking each other and hurting his collective temple than he is with the different ways the people are doing church differently? Here's the problem. I'm guilty of this. Right here at Friends Church. Little background. Years ago, me and a few others, we left, and I'm tired, so just be fair with me here. Left another church to start Friends Church. And there were certain things that were being, and the reason why was we felt that there were certain things being done or said or not being done or said that were affecting people who were leaving the community and not returning. Not returning to another church, just not returning. And it was hard because it was even our own family. Sometimes friends, sometimes family members, they were just... And as a pastor, I could see so many people on the outside of church wanting to connect with God, but not able to connect with certain things that were being done or said. And I'd like to believe with the best intentions, we stepped out of that community to start something that would be able to do it in a way that would be helpful to those people sitting on the outskirts of church. And so 16 years later, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited because there have been so many stories of people who never did church or had left church determined they would never return, went away, who ended up being invited into Friends Church and found something that gave them hope again. They heard it, Christianity, the teachings of Jesus, the Bible being done in a way that they're going, this makes sense to me. Or, I feel like I'm allowed in again. Or, you're just not pissing me off anymore. This is wonderful. Like, we'd hear all these different kinds of stories and reactions, and we'd go, yes, yes. And we're so excited, and we'd be high-fiving each other and high-fiving these people that are coming in and getting it, and we're going, this is why we did it. Very exciting. Very exciting. Some on the outside would look at what we did and they're going, I don't get why you need to start another church. I mean, you're still doing music. You're still getting up there preaching. I mean, everything is, basically seems the same. Did you have to go and do that? And you try to start explaining some of the subtle things that we had to shift to make this work for people who didn't fit church. And though some on the outside who haven't experienced this would say, that doesn't seem like any big deal. For those in it, made a big deal. And as you begin to explain those differences, and as you begin to unpack what we've done differently, how we look at the Bible in a way that has helped some, how we look at what it means to be Christian in this world, how what it means to engage culturally in our world. Like, we start unpacking all these different things. Oftentimes, people on the outside looking in start going, hey, wait a second. I'm not sure about this. Maybe you felt that. Maybe you've heard that. I've had my own family members look at me and go, That's when they bring out the I'm praying for you card. It's like, okay, appreciate it. I need all the prayer I can get. And the concern, and sometimes every now and then, maybe the little snide remark, or maybe the insinuations that maybe somehow we're not doing it right. And so you get these little things over time because of what we're doing here. Maybe you felt that too. Maybe you've had people bring up concerns, questions. I know some of you have. Some of you would come and book time with me and go, okay, this is what I'm hearing. Help me out here. Throw me a bone. Sometimes, for some of our community, if you're like me, sometimes it can feel like you're the solitary Flames fan in the midst of traditional church land or the country. Just for lack of better metaphor, all right? It's like they're looking at you going, Which is easy for a little while, or in very small doses, but after a while, the snide remarks. And I don't think it's always intentional. Sometimes it can feel condescending. It can feel like judgments from other Christians. It can chip away, and it can make you a little resentful. What feels like judgments. Can leave you wanting to somehow prove to them. Turn the tables and say, you know what? This is legit. What's going on here? You might not like some of these pieces, but I'm telling you, this is as much a part of the kingdom of God, doing what we're doing, as what you're doing. You start looking for proof. Which brings me to potentially the problem. See, right from the beginning, we took the approach that we were going to be as honest as we could about all kinds of different things within the church, because we felt that there were many that had left or walked away because they didn't feel that there's enough honesty within the church about things we believe and how we can prove things and all that kind of stuff. So we said, no, we're going to be as completely honest as possible. Sometimes we're going to be painfully honest about what we know and what we don't know. We're not going to stand up here and say, yeah, we know for sure that this belief is right. No, we're going to present it pretty open-handed. But I got to tell you something, in that approach, sometimes, as we're honest about not only where we sit, but sometimes former theologies that we've held, things that have been promoted that maybe weren't as lockdown bulletproof, what ended up happening is for some that were maybe looking for ammunition to be able to go back to those people that are going, I'm a little worried about you. Sometimes what it did is it gave you ammunition to be able to go back and say, oh, you're worried about me? Why don't we go there? You want to talk to me about this belief that I hold? How about we talk about a couple of years? And in the process, I mean, I remember there being mornings where we begin to deconstruct different stuff and talk about different things. And I could tell there were some people sitting there taking notes, and they weren't taking notes for themselves. They're going, oh man, this is going to be fun going back to my buddy over from that other church he's going to love this. And I'm going to give him a little of his own medicine. Happens in little ways over time, and I'm telling you, guilty every now and then. Someone wants to kind of dig away at something we're doing. I lob something back, and the stories I hear of that happening, they look all kinds of, they look, happen in different ways at different times, but you know what, so uncanny how many of the stories come back when they're talking about the altercation, the confrontation with that person, or the group, family member, loved one even, where they begin talking about their differences, how they see church, God, Bible, life. And they say, something flipped in me, and I just started going. I started going and getting angry, and then more stuff came up. And then I started saying, too much. I think I hurt them, retaliating. I remember one point being like that for me. And this person had just been nitpicking different things about how we go about things here. And I just kept on brushing off. And then finally one day, I just decided enough. And I turned around and just started going, oh, yeah, tell me this. What about this? What about this? Oh, and how about this? And I watched their body language. At first, they were like this. And they're like, yeah, bring it on. And then all of a sudden, they kind of back up. And then before long, you could tell they were kind of like this. And I was just, oh, you want to go there? And it was like I wet my fingers and I took the flame of their spiritual journey and I just went, psst. I just snuffed out their flame. I know for a fact they walked away from that meeting going, I was concerned about you, but now I'm concerned about everything. You have made me uncertain even about what I believe now. That is something I am wrestling with now when I read these words of Paul. Because he's going, I have no problems with each of you doing this thing a little differently, but don't you be the one looking over there and going, I'm going to snuff out your flame. You think you're so good. Psst, let me. Oh. Sometimes our approach here, it gives some people new freedom. For some that have felt beaten down by the church in your past, it's given you ability to hold your head up and say, I'm not that bad. I can be a player in this kingdom of God. I can be a part. I can be a spiritual player. Sometimes we give you the ability to do that, and that worries me. You know, there are 118 different denominations in Calgary, and I used to think that that was a problem. It's like 118 different Apollos and Paul and Apollos out there doing it differently. I used to think that was a problem. I used to say, man, all these denominations, they're wrecking it. I don't think so anymore. In fact, I don't think there's any problem with having a myriad of different styles and different flavors, different reaches, styles of music, styles of communication, meeting in different places, different styles of buildings. No, bring it on. The more the merrier, because each of us are reaching out to different kinds of people with different kinds of challenges and doing different things. The problem is those of us who take it upon ourselves to point out the problems with the next guy. And this morning I want to apologize. I want to say sorry if I've, for the times I've spoken harshly about other Christian expressions who are different. I want to apologize if I've ever thrown gas on the fire, handed someone ammunition to go back and engage in a little bit of verbal jousting or worse. I also want to ask you, if you're feeling like the Lonely Flames fan out there, in the midst of some, if you're the Paul follower and you're convinced there's a bunch of Apollos around you, you're feeling a little bit cornered, I just want to ask you to put down the gun. Don't fight, don't retaliate. My prayer is for this community that we would be a community that never has to fight or criticize or condemn people who are different. It's funny, we're often the different ones, but we can be just as guilty. When people are looking at us going, oh, you guys got issues, we can do it. And I just don't want that to be us. That's all. May we realize the sanctity, the sacredness of the temple of God that is so much bigger than Friends Church. So all these churches doing their thing. May we support, wrap our arms around every one of them. Every believer that you know, every person that's a part of a different church, may you cheer them on. It doesn't mean you have to lose your identity, but may you cheer them on in the thing that they're doing, in the way they're doing it. May we build this thing up. Hey, is that all right that I said that? Will you forgive me for the times I've thrown the fire on, fuel on the fire? Please. You can call me out. After a message, you say, ah, that was a little offside. Call me out. We need to bring peace. No more fighting. That's all I got. Let's pray. I pray for wisdom, God. Help us understand how important it is to love, to embrace, to include, to bring peace. Today, may we build bridges. And this week, we pray. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome week, you guys. Have a great week. Don't miss out on tickets. I know I'm not. You can see us if you want them. If you want soup, have at her too, all right? God bless you.